The opinions expressed by the final whistle are individual and are not necessarily re representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Flings it. It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
Is this the dagger?
Welcome to the final whistle. My name is Ryan Freilich.
I'm Dante Medica.
I'm Christopher Svob.
And I'm Matteo Colosimo.
And this is the third episode of our podcast. And we have a sad one for Matteo and I here, at least. Can't talk for Dante and Chris, but it was Marc-Andre Fleury's last game in Pittsburgh the other day. Matteo, what are your thoughts on that one?
I was pretty emotional about it. Marc-Andre Fleury was my childhood goalie. I used to play with him in NHL all the time. I had his hockey card with a with his jersey on it. So I was kind of emotional that he's retiring this year and it's his last game in Pittsburgh. I hope him nothing but the best at the end of this year. And yeah, I thought it was really good. I also saw Crosby and Letang came out to congratulate him. They didn't go back in the change room. So I thought that was a really great moment as well for Pittsburgh sports and the Penguins as a whole.
Fleury has done so much for that community. Like there was at least a park named after him. I don't know if that's still there since he left, but I remember hearing about that when he left. And yeah, the Wild got to get there a few days early, so he finally got to show his kids around Pittsburgh because he said he has never done that before. So very cool moment. But we do have an avid Wild fan in the chat. So Chris, how was that for you?
It was really cool. I like to see how Fleury is taking this sort of victory lap in the league. He is going out with a bang. The Wild, he's been, him and the Wild have just been unreal this year. Way better than my expectations for them and way better than they were last year. Let's just look at some of Fleury's and even the Wild stats. They scored 9 goals this season against the Lightning, beat the Panthers 5-1, beat the Penguins 5-3. Beat the Blues 4-1. They beat the Blackhawks 7-2. Like, this offense has just been so high scoring, led by Kaprizov and Spurgeon, and their goaltending has been way better than they were. Gustavsson and Fleury, they've just been really good this year, and I can't describe it anywhere else. Fleury, he's been great. Like, the other day against the Penguins, as we were mentioning, he had 3 goals against with a 8.896 save percentage. What other 40-year-old goalie is doing that at this time in the league?
Yeah, there aren't many 40-year-old goalies at all, but it's not even his save percentage and everything that was so impressive against Pittsburgh. He made, at the end of the game, he made an identical looking save to his game-winning stop in 2009 Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup. So it's only fitting ending that game with a win, making that same stop against Pittsburgh.
You know what they say, history repeats itself.
Yeah, it really did. And the Wild are off to that great spot, that great start, but another team that was off to a great start before running into Dante's Leafs here was the Winnipeg Jets. I know you're excited about that game, Dante, so if you want to get into that one.
Yeah, that was it was a really good game because well, not for the Jets, but it was a really good game in general, just because, like, going into it, of course, yeah, the Jets were undefeated. It was they weren't just the thing was they weren't just beating teams, they were like dominating teams. Like they were playing well. They were beating most of the teams pretty convincingly. But I will say, as much as I do think the Jets are the real deal, I think they're a good team. They didn't really have that much of a test up to that point. They didn't really play many like top like playoff teams up to that point, and I think we can all agree the Leafs should be a top playoff team. And going into that game, I was a little nervous, but they went up 4-0. The Leafs went up 4-0. Yeah, you know, the game ended up getting close by the end. They ended up getting up 5-1, but that turned into 5-3, And it ended up being pretty close, but it honestly, or sorry, it ended up being 5-4. And it honestly, it was a good game, and Hellebuck didn't look like himself, but the Leafs weren't really scoring many goals that any goalie's saving. Like they were pretty nice goals. That second line right now, even if you want to call it the first line, Tavares, Pacioretty, and Nylander it's been pretty fun to watch, actually. Their passing plays, they're just everything. Tavares has looked the past couple of games like his old self. Like he scored a hat trick in that game. But no, that was a really, really good game. And the Jets ended up, they lost that game, but then they ended up going on to win their next ones. Like I still think they're the real deal. They're still 10-1. Like they went and lost to us, but then beat the Red Wings 6-2 and beat the Blue Jackets 6-2. So it's not like that game right there, like, oh no, oh, here we go. Here's their fall off. No, they came back and did great again. And actually, since we're talking about the Leafs, I want to bring something up as well, because I think Ryan's a little bit of a Joseph Woll hater, if we're being honest here. And last game, Joseph Woll against the Kraken actually looked pretty good. His second game back, he looked great. He almost got a shutout. They scored with like 3, 4 minutes left. They won 4-1. But Ryan, what's going on? What's going on with Joseph Woll? Is he a good goalie, or are all the Pittsburgh goalies better than him?
I mean, he's definitely better than any of the Pittsburgh goalies have been this year, but at the same time, he played one game. I'm surprised he's not on LTIR till the playoffs at this point. But no, he has all the tools to be a great goalie. He just needs to figure out his injury problems, because you can't rely on a guy who will be in the net for 5 games, then miss the next 10. Like, it's just not reliable in the NHL. But he has the tools. It's just we can't be having a goalie go on LTIR twice a season.
True. It's true. That's a fair point.
Yeah, but now, although we already kind of talked about the Penguins with Fleury coming back against the Ducks the other day, we ended our 6-game losing streak, so we are no longer the second worst team in hockey. We're now, I think, 28th in the league, which makes us the fourth worst team in hockey. But all it took was a Patrick Waugh level goaltending performance from Alex Nedeljkovic and Sidney Crosby being Sidney Crosby and doing literally everything, because his first goal was a deflection that was going wide of the net if he didn't tip it. And then his second goal, I'm sure, has been shown everywhere. It was his overtime winner where he had to help win a puck battle, chip it to himself, and then basically stood there doing nothing, and Dostal got scared, fell over, and the puck went in the net. So,
Can I
yeah,
say
it's.
something about that goal? I was seeing Duck fans saying that was hooking. Hooking? Or what were they looking at? Bro, that was an easy pickup of the puck, bro. And it was a beautiful goal by Sid. They're so salty, man. The Ducks suck, bro. Like, Dostal's carrying their team right now. Who else on their team's good? Zegras? He's a bum. Go Michigan outside of your house, buddy. Like, what is he doing? Yeah, some Ducks fans are being a bit mouthy in there, so.
That's fair. They didn't like. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a Ducks or Penguins fan, but no, it wasn't a hook. It was a nice goal. He fought hard for the puck. It was a nice goal. And the Ducks are pretty poverty, let's be honest. Like they have nothing going for them, honestly. It's kind of sad to say. Like, they are a young team, but like
Well,
they don't really have. Sorry.
they have two solid goalies with Dostal and
That
Gibson.
is true. That is true. They do have that, but like they just, I don't know, I don't see the promise in them that I see in a lot of the other kind of younger, not so good teams, which actually, speaking of, I one of them is, I wanted to ask you guys, you don't have to pick one of them too, because I don't necessarily think they're gonna win it, but two questions. It's a double question. I'll go to Chris first, and I want you guys to go around and answer. Who do you guys think is gonna finish the year with the most goals? And between the two leaders right now, Nico Hischier and Cole Caufield, who do you think will finish with more goals between them two? So it's kind of a double question. I just want to know. I'm curious.
I kind of hope Cole Caufield does, just because it'd be nice to have someone who plays in Canada have that scoring record for the year. And Montreal is one of the better young teams. They're a little bit more exciting than other teams out there. Like their goaltending, Montembeau and Caufield, they make a pretty good duo. So it's sort of like at a point where I kind of want to compare him to the Brooklyn Nets. They're young and exciting to watch. Will they win a lot of games? Not really, but they will be fun. And that's something that a lot of teams need just to build up some confidence. This way, as the season goes on, as the years go on, they'll get that and they'll move further and further into the playoffs by adding pieces here and there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go next because I know Mateo is gonna not like my take here. But first of all, I think even though a little bit of struggles early, Auston Matthews will finish with the most goals. It's just, even though it's been like 11, 12 games, I don't know exactly how many each team's played, he'll still probably finish with 55 or 60. And I don't see either of the other guys getting there. But I think 100%. Not even going to be close. Cole Caulfield will finish with more goals than Nico Hischier. Nico Hischier, although a great player, not going to be able to keep this up. This is not who he is. He's a defensive player. He's great in the defensive zone. This is not the type of player he is. Although great, and it's, I'm glad he's putting up these numbers. Love to see guys succeed. This is just not the type of guy he is, and it will not be sustainable.
Okay, I'll go ahead. So I think who will be the goal leader at the end of the year is going to be of a dark horse pick. I think Sam Reinhart is going to be, he got 50 goals last year. He's going to be on a gross Florida team. I think he has the tools to do to get maybe 60 goals this year, maybe get 10 extra goals this year. I think he could beat Matthews this year. And if we're looking at Hischier and Caulfield, I don't want to hear TSN say Montreal this, Montreal that, Cole's this good, the Cole's that good. Like, he'll probably be get more goals than Hischier, but I really don't want to see it. You know what? I love Nico Hischier. He's great in defensive zone, like Ryan said. And Ryan's saying, oh, he's not this player, he's not this player. You know what? He's gonna be this player this year. Keefe is gonna make him do it this year. He loves his young guys like he did with the Leafs. He made Matthews get all these 60 goals. He's gonna make Hischier get these 60 goals. Because why not? Because he is.
Keefe
I
had
know
no
Dante's
no
looking.
Keefe had nothing to do with Matthews getting 60 goals. That is just because that's just
Oh, yeah,
because
but he
Auston
coached him.
that is just because Auston Matthews is Auston Matthews. He would have gotten 60 goals with me behind the bench. Probably would have gotten
Yeah.
75 with me behind the bench because I would have tapped him on the back and said, "Go snipe one."
No,
Just
no.
because you coach a good team doesn't mean you're a good coach.
That is not true at
That's
all,
so
bro.
true.
No,
There's so
it's
many
not. It's pretty
examples of
that is
it.
not. You have to come up with certain systems. If you have me in, as coach who doesn't know systems at all on power play, you have a garbage power play against a good Stanley Cup team.
Head coach doesn't do the power play.
It's sure they don't. They got special teams coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they hire the power play coach, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you
Yeah.
could hire a coach that
Yeah.
you'd see if
So
a guy knows more than you and then you'd give him the
and
job.
they sign off on the power play, right?
No, they
They don't
don't.
just look at the power play and go, oh,
That's
let's just forget it. Let's give it to the power
you.
play coach.
You
That's not what happens to the power play team. I'm getting mad. I'm getting off this
quite
team.
literally hire a coach to do the power play. It is not up to the
Yeah,
head coach.
but they sign off. They
No,
don't
they
go,
don't.
oh, our power play is garbage and we're just going to leave it at there.
Mateo. Paul Maurice is a good coach. He coached the Florida Panthers their way to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Sheldon Keefe made zero adjustments with the Leafs last year in the playoffs. That's the difference. One coach has a winning
No, he made
mentality.
no.
He did not have a winning mentality.
I'll stand up for Dante here. He did make a few adjustments when Matthews was gone with putting Knies and Nylander together, and they did come back. I'll say that. They did make a few adjustments.
Wow, you
But
had to change your lines when your superstar forward's out? No way. I didn't think anyone would come to that
well,
sense.
what are you
I
supposed
had
to
no idea,
do?
Ryan. I had no idea.
Wait,
Oh
you
my
can't just play
God.
two players on one forward line? That's crazy.
It's insane.
What do you mean? So if he didn't put them together, you guys would be saying he did nothing. And also, what is he supposed to do with the with Samsonov in net? Like wall, like you said, he's made out of glass. Like what is he supposed to do?
Yes,
So
but
he was put
again,
like
he has
his hands were
nothing.
tied.
Yes, but he had nothing to do with Matthews scoring how many goals he did because
He had
that
a
it.
small hand.
No, he did not.
Must have had a small hand. Okay, so what was
He.
Berube is? Do you think Berube's helping Matthews this year? No.
I
He's
mean,
been good
probably he's
this
building
year.
him into a tough player instead of a, you know,
Not goals wise
can't use the
though.
words I want to use there.
You're saying a tough player doesn't mean he's good at scoring.
It's
Not
Auston
Tom Wilson.
Matthews. It's Auston Matthews. He's
Guys,
going to
guys, guys,
spot
guys, guys.
55.
I think Dante wants to say. In this conversation as well, I see him. He's itching to say something. Dante, what's up?
No, I I'm kind of a Sheldon Keefe supporter, but I in coaches in general, I think coaches make a huge difference, and I think that if we can talk about football with this, look at the Washington Commanders this year. Do you think that's just because they got Jaden Daniels? No, it's not just because they got Jaden Daniels. Great quarterback. But have you seen what their coaching staff, not just head coach, not just Quinn. He hasn't been the only one. The offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator have been 30 times better. Like just the plays they're running, the scheme, everything is so much better, and they're a much better team because of it. But just because a team, yeah, I agree. Just because a team does well doesn't mean that the coach is. I don't think that means the coach is the recipe for that exactly. Sometimes there is just a good team with a not so great coach behind the bench, like. Much as I hate to say it, because I do like Sheldon Keefe, the Leafs last year. I think that is true. They're a good team. I don't think the coach was that great. I don't think Sheldon Keefe was good enough. But yeah, I think it does make a difference. And that I think pivots us into football pretty well.
Thought my life would be good again. I thought everything would be great. Tua was back. We played so well. We scored the most points we scored all year. But our quarterback comes back and our defense decides they want to go on a little break here. And we lost on a game-winning field goal to the Arizona Cardinals. That hurts even more because it would have been a tie game if Tua didn't fumble a snap from our own 13-yard line into the end zone for a safety. It would have been a tie game. And I forget if they scored on that possession after the safety, so it might have just been a win. But quite unfortunate.
I think we
Yeah, the
should
Dolphins.
talk about the Dolphins still. Yeah, they've been really up and down team this year. Like I know Tua coming back. I think we mentioned his value last week, where if we saw Tua out and we saw him back in, that really makes you see the value of Tua to the Dolphins and in the entire league. Because let's look at just comparing them to another team, the Packers. They took out Jordan Love, Malik Willis. They still won a game. You take out Tua, put in Tyler Huntley. They
Wait,
did not win any games.
no, Tyler Huntley beat the Patriots, but that doesn't count because it's the Patriots and they suck. They're the only team worse than us.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's
Yeah,
unfortunate.
he's the Dolphins are they're not a bad, honestly, I'm sorry, they're not a bad team. They're not a bad team. I will die on that hill because I'm not a Dolphins fan, obviously, but there are many people that are just out there saying, oh, the Dolphins suck. The Dolphins suck. Look at their record, whatever. The Dolphins are not a bad team. And last week was honestly a fairly good example of that. Look at it's Tua's first week back from this injury. He's been out for how many weeks was it? Five, six?
Six.
Something like that. Six. Yeah. He was out for 6 weeks, comes back. And look at, like you said, the difference of the offense. Like they scored 27 points. Without Tua, they're lucky if they score 12 points. Like they were not good offensively. Yeah, okay, he can't do anything about the defense. He's not coming out as a linebacker or something when they're on defense, but like he's doing his job. And with Tua, they're honestly a solid team. They really are. They really are a solid team. And on that, like we can talk about a team that's not that solid, the Packers, who barely scraped it out last week against the Jaguars, and the 2-6 Jaguars, might I add, barely scraped it out at the end of the game for the second week in a row. I just not impressive.
Chris.
I'd like to rebuttal against that. I think because Jordan Love got injured, their offense could not be as high scoring as it was. However, Matt LaFleur, he created a game plan for Josh Jacobs to go crazy. And that's something that the Packers are good at. You saw Jordan Love go out and Malik Willis come in and win the game. How can you say that? And just like, oh, they're not that good. 6-2. It doesn't matter how you win, you win. People win off field goals all the time, especially when you're playing with your backup quarterback.
Like the Arizona Cardinals did and ruined my weekend. But yeah.
Exactly. What do you expect when you're playing with your backup quarterback? Of course, it's going to be a closer game. You're going to have more punts. You're going to be more conservative with your offense. You're not going to have Jordan Love gunslinging it the entire game.
Hey, less turnovers, though.
There was less turnovers. I will agree with that. Malik Willis has thrown zero interceptions this year. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah. But another team with only two losses is Mateo's Pittsburgh Steelers. And, the reason I wanted to get into that is because talking about how the Packers weren't a great 6-2 team, but I agree with you, Chris. They're pretty good. The Steelers are probably not a great team with how easy their schedule was. Going into their final stretch here, looking at their schedule, I do not know if Mike Tomlin has a winning record at the end of this year. Mateo, I know you're going to want to get into that one, but they have the hardest strength of schedule remaining. Russ has been good, but what happens when there's one of the normal Steelers wide receiver crash outs and George Pickens decides he doesn't want to play anymore? Like, what happens then?
What happens then is we lose Ryan, and then we have to look at our defense, Mr. TJ Watt, to help carry us again. And he got like two sacks last game, so he was pretty much going off. That's what's going to happen then. For this whole year, we've been in rumors, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, Brandon Ayuk. Now it's going to backlash on us. We only have George Pickens, Mr. Diva out there. Like, he's been playing pretty decent, but he only got 11 fantasy points last year. So, looking down the stretch, I think we kind of have to hope that our defense makes the other team not get enough points, and Russ could get a few touchdowns to hopefully make us win. But I am nervous about the wide receiver room, as you are, Ryan, as a Steelers fan.
Question for you, Mateo. If the Steelers were to make a trade before the deadline, because the deadline is coming up, who would you like to see them trade for?
Like I said again, we need a very good wide receiver, so Cooper Kupp would be great. It's just the only thing in return is what I'm kind of worried about, because the Ayuk trade, apparently they wanted George Pickens, which would make zero sense, which make them back to level one there. So it kind of has to, I kind they kind of have to make sure they have to have a good return. Sorry, they're sending back something good as well. For me to like that trade, but definitely a good wide receiver to make that wide receiver room definitely better. That's where our weakness is right now.
Yeah, it's for the Steelers. It's a very strange situation right now. They got a great defense, good offense when George Pickens is getting the ball, but no secondary wide receiver. But they were never getting any of those guys. They like always low ball. They don't offer enough. But we can offer you Odell Beckham Jr. from the Miami Dolphins. But yeah, Dante, what do you think on this?
Well, what I think is, I know we're probably going to run out of time pretty soon. And if we run out of time without talking about Jaden Daniels throwing a Hail Mary at the end of the game, I what is this? I have to talk about it. I have to talk about it. But the Commanders did not play well. I will admit, they did not play well. They did not play as, sorry, they didn't play as well as they could. They didn't play bad. They just played a pretty average game. And I'm not gonna lie, I thought that game was over. I was watching, and when the Bears scored with 27 seconds left, I was like, here we go, this is it. We lost our test game because this was the test game. They're playing the Bears, who going into it were 4-2. And then like, I don't know. I the light my life flashed before my eyes. I couldn't believe it. I saw Jaden Daniels running around in the pocket, and he just chucks one up, and I'm thinking with his ribs, especially with that injury, I'm like he's not gonna throw it that far. This guy threw 65 air yards. That's crazy. And the Bears player that was taunting the crowd tipped it over, and Noah Brown caught it, and it was great. It was awesome. But I'm gonna put a hot take in there. As much as I love my commies, they are going to lose to the Giants this week. That's my take.
Yeah, and I think that is the perfect way to end the show because we are out of time, like you were right with Dante. But thank you for listening to the final whistle, and we'll see you next week.
Mahomes.
Mahomes flings it. It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City! Is this the dagger? Oh!